Welcome to Recalculating Small Business. Like its award-winning book, Recalculating is dedicated to small business in America. Your hosts are Don Mazzella and Dan Perkins. Don Mazzella is the editor-in-chief of the Small Business Digest. Dan Perkins is a registered investment advisor with 43 years' experience in managing money.
Dan Perkins here, your co-host, along with Don Mazzella of Recalculating for Small Business. Our radio program is dedicated to you, helping the small business owners increase their profits. We draw our name from Recalculating, voted the best small business book of 2017 by the Independent Press. In this book, it features ways to grow your small business. Now, here's Don Mazzella.
Keeping employees motivated and involved is a problem facing most companies. Randy Britton, a district president for Office Team, is here to talk about one of the company's recent surveys and other aspects of workforce management. Randy, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me on the program today.
Okay. Before we go further, what's the district president for Office Team do, and what's her responsibilities?
Typically, the district president is responsible for guiding their teams to place more individuals with various employment opportunities. So we lead a team of recruiters who help people get jobs and help companies find employees.
How long have you been with the Office Team?
18 years.
Whoa.
Long time.
You don't sound like you've been there 18 years. You got a great voice.
Oh, well, thank you. The job keeps me on my toes. So,
well, tell us about the survey that originally brought us here. You here, and then we'll talk about that and other things.
Sounds good. Yes, we recently conducted a survey, and some of the findings that we came up with or learned is that there are professionals in the workplace today, on average, feel bored 10.5 hours a week, which equates to 68 days out of the year that they're bored and not necessarily engaged in their job.
Unbelievable.
That's fascinating, but now I'll turn it over to Dan, and we can explore that further.
Yeah, I really think, Randy, I think, I guess I would have to ask you for some more qualifications on who did you survey. Were these large companies, small companies, mid-size, males, females, somebody new with the company, old with the company? Can you give us any more demographics?
Yeah, absolutely. So our surveys are typically with 1,000 or more managers, and the variety of size of company varies anywhere from a small company to a large company. And we look at also various demographics, whether it is millennials or so we look at the categories between 18 to 34, which are typically the millennials, or individuals that are 35 and above.
Is there a difference in the results of your survey between the two age groups?
Yes, actually. Well, there's one slight difference that it pertains to males between the ages of 18 and 34. And we found that there are actually more male workers who at that age range that are more bored than others, and they're more likely to leave their job if they're bored. So some of the reasons behind that, it's often been said that millennials want more challenge in their job and need to feel much more connected to their work. So if they don't, they're more likely to leave. And then typically older employees tend to be more focused on stability versus the a challenging environment that's constantly changing.
Somebody once said that we have Brandy Britton. Is that right? Britton, is that correct?
Yep, Brandy Britton, uh-huh.
Brandy Britton is talking to us about survey about the workforce. Some people have said, myself included, when talking to young people who I run across occasionally in my travels that are bored, and I say to them, especially over the last 8 years of the Obama administration, paychecks are a wonderful thing. Paychecks are a wonderful thing. And the idea that the grass will be greener on the other side may not necessarily be true. So those millennials who are bored 10 hours out of their work week and they leave, where do they go? Do you know?
Well, the employment market right now is incredibly strong. So these workers have a lot of options and a lot of opportunities out there. They often go to just from job to job or a different role. But you're right. A paycheck is a very valuable thing. What employers can do is leverage a millennial's desire to take on additional responsibilities. So, you know, one thing that they can do is, one, have they mastered their work? Are they really good at it? If they're not really good at it, then it's a great time for a manager to have a conversation to say, you may be bored, but, you know, I'd like to see an improvement in your overall work product, and here's what I'd like to see you do.
Yeah.
If they have mastered the work and they're doing a good job, it's a lot easier to keep an employee than necessarily find a new one. So what other additional responsibilities could you task this person with that would make them feel more connected and challenged in the workplace? Most managers are very, very busy and have a lot on their plate. Is there anything that's on their plate that they could carve out and give to the employee that is wanting more?
Good point. You know, the idea of when you first start working your job, whatever it is, compensation is a really an important part of how you measure your success. But a lot of psychologists have found, employment psychologists have found, when you get past the point that you can pay your bills and put a lot of money in the bank, that need for compensation drops down the level of importance, and job satisfaction jumps to the top of the heap. And so how do we, as people who have businesses, our listeners, how do they engage, especially a small business when a lot of things sit on the shoulders of the boss, who's the owner, how do they engage to provide more things or for the newer employees who have progressed rapidly? What can they do?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, most employees really feel good about being asked for their feedback. So a small business or a big business can always actively seek feedback from the members on their team. Maintaining an open door policy, also an open mind, because certainly in leadership, when you ask for feedback, you're going to get some good things, but you also might get some crazy things. But some of those ideas can be very, very good and help the company. Another way is to offer various training programs or mentoring for individuals so that they themselves can improve. It's amazing how interested new employees are in understanding what the boss does all day. So a little bit of mentorship there can go a long way. Other things, and you know, just very, very simple, is providing recognition and/or sometimes rewards. But rewards often cost money. So not all businesses are in a position to do that. But what is free is recognition of a job well done.
So when we're dealing with a small business, and we're dealing with that employee who comes in, a new hire, and they're really anxious to succeed, whatever that means in their mind, you know, sometimes one of the problems of being a small business is that they're a small business, and there really isn't a clear-cut path for progress as far as moving up a ladder, because there may not be a ladder. And so in when you work with people to try and find jobs for them, do you help them try and figure out where their talents and abilities might be best used when you start looking for places for them to work?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as recruiters, our job is to help people find roles that will help them progress. And progression is different for everyone. You know, to you, progression might be have more responsibilities. To someone else, it might be financial. To me, it might be something different. So our job as recruiters is to definitely help people identify what do they want and how do they get there, and are they in a position to achieve those goals, and what do they need to do to achieve those goals. Now, if I'm an employee in a smaller business and I want to move up the ladder, yes, you are right. A small business, they may not have the opportunity to necessarily run the company unless the owner steps aside, but what can they contribute from a return on investment to that business that down the road they could take to another organization? You know, what is your value to that company? Are you able to streamline a process? Are you able to implement some sort of procedures that help save the company money over time? You know, there's a variety of things that people can do that the owner of a small business may not be thinking of, and that is the true value add of an employee to a company, is somebody that comes in, and whether they leave in 2 to 3 years or 5 years down the road, have they left some sort of legacy of how they improved that company or that business?
Dan, let me jump in and ask a question. It's kind of different, but over the last 10 years, we've seen 4 or 5 layers of management eliminated in large corporations. And smaller companies, people say they don't have time to do everything. I'm having trouble. When I read about your survey, in today's world, it just seems to me that people don't have time to be bored, given all the work that we're piling on people, either on the corporate level or on the small business level.
Yes, you would think, but sometimes just because you're bored doesn't mean that you don't have work you need to do. So perhaps when you're bored, you've got the work, you're just not engaged in it like you should be. So figuring out ways to re-engage with your work is important. But then also valuing the times where you are bored, because sometimes when you don't have 20,000 things that you've got to accomplish, sometimes the greatest ideas come out of those moments of peace.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Welcome back to Recalculating.
Well, I won't argue with that. That was my question, Dan. Back to you.
Yeah, I want to follow that question, Brandy, because I've seen numerous articles about the impact of private social media, whether it's YouTube or pornography or games or whatever, significant portion of the workday is spent by employees doing non-business work on their computers. And they're making a choice between, as Don says, doing their work or enjoying their time on the internet, maybe at obviously at company expense. But it seems to me that we came through the Obama administration where there was really no upward mobility or very little upward mobility. So if you left your job at XYZ, you may not get a job anywhere. And so that people were staying in jobs because the paycheck was a wonderful thing. But now that Mr. Trump is in place and the economy seems to be accelerating, are you seeing greater and greater demand for your services from individuals?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I mean, the job market is extremely strong. What we're seeing right now is usually there is about four different job opportunities available per candidate that we're representing. So employees have a lot of options right now, and businesses are having to work very, very hard at retaining their employees. And part of retaining their employees is making sure that they are engaged at work. We actually published a survey not too long ago about how much time people spend doing other things other than working. And there was a large portion of time that was spent, on the internet and things like that. I think right or wrong, that is a part of the workplace, but it is definitely up to the company and the employer to make sure that there's time built in for that, so that employees don't think that you work for this environment where there's unrealistic ideas where people are not going to go on the internet, but also providing them with work that they find challenging and engaging, so that it minimizes the amount of time that they are on the internet and things like that.
So I'm going to put you on the spot because I want to go back to something you just said. And if I heard it wrong, you're perfectly willing to change or challenge me for having it said it incorrectly. I thought I heard you say that employers have to understand, and I'm paraphrasing, that their work environment has to have a certain amount of time for personal.
Excuse me, persons need your attention.
Personal play.
It is you heard me correctly, and you're
so
you're
that we no longer
well.
Have a 40 a corporation no longer hires an employee for a 40-hour work week. It's something less than that.
Yeah. Well, what you're seeing in the workplace is most employees are frankly working more than 40 hours, what they're clocking in at. Their actual productive time may be about 40 hours. But definitely I think businesses and employers need to have a realistic view of what employees are doing. And if they have a realistic view, knowing that they are going to be doing maybe some outside activities such as going on the internet or looking at their iPhone or things like that, then they're more likely to be an employer that people want to work for. And as the war for talent continues, it doesn't mean that they should allow people to be on the internet 40 hours a week. But just being realistic with it, that it does go on, and it isn't necessarily the end of the world if it does, and how do you manage that effectively so that you get the best from your employees when they are engaged and connected?
You know, I'm going to jump in here. Yeah, that goes against so much of what I was taught as a young man, and in fact practiced expecting someone to spend time on the internet, do things like that. It just seems to be so much against what I was taught. I'm sure it's true, but I have great difficulty accepting it. You want to comment on it, Brandy?
Well, I'm with you. I agree. I grew up in the same environment, And even today, I always feel a little guilty if I've got to go on the internet and take care of something personal at work. But and again, it isn't necessarily as an employer, you don't have to say, okay, I expect everybody in the office to go on the surf the internet for a half hour every day. But it's about having realistic understanding that it is going to happen. People do have things that they need to take care of. They are spending more time at work than they have in the past. And so it's about ensuring that the employee has set work to accomplish, that they are getting those things accomplished, and if they are, being understanding that they might do those things. Now, certainly it becomes a problem if the employee is not productive and they're not getting their work done. Then that's when a manager or an employer needs to have a conversation and determine is that what's holding that person back from performing better, and then maybe implement some procedures there if they're not, and work with their human resources team to control that a little bit better.
You know, we walked out from my house today for a noontime walk. I have the ability to work from home. And parked in front of us was an ambulance. And in the front seat was one man snoring so loud. And then when we went for our walk and then we came back, we discovered that the second ambulance driver was in the back having a siesta as well. And they were there for a good solid hour. Now, to me, they're cheating on their employer. And, you know, they didn't seem fazed by it. And I know you're not condoning it, but it just seems to me that this is not the way you become a productive citizen.
Well, I certainly wouldn't want my ambulance driver falling asleep either if an ambulance needed to come my way. No, not necessarily condoning it, but It is a balance of understanding what goes on in the workforce and getting the best from your employees. Now, sleeping on the job is a whole other category, I agree that that's a whole
different
ball of wax.
That's called goofing off in my parlance. but anyway, Dan, I go back to you. I'm listening. I'm sure Brandy's right, but it's very difficult for me to just to accept that. And in a small company, it would have outrageous results.
So I want to go back again to something you just said before Don asked you his question. You said that that people today are working longer. Can you quantify that for me?
Yeah, I'd have to pull up the survey that we did because I don't remember the exact length of time, but it was definitely north of 40 hours. So people were at the workplace more than 40 hours a week in general. But forgive me, I don't have that survey in front of me to give you that, quantify
okay.
that number for
That's
you.
Fine. I wonder how much the change under Obamacare limiting full-time employment above 35 hours, how that changed the amount of time that people were in the office before with a 35-hour time limit. I don't know whether that had any impact or not. What areas do you see in our last few minutes in your work, what area do you see creating the greatest demand currently and going forward?
Yeah, well, we certainly are seeing a big demand in positions anywhere from recent college graduates, so entry-level positions, on up to the middle management area. So office team specializes in administrative staffing, so we're seeing quite a few junior administrative assistant, but then we've also seen quite a bit of uptick in executive assistants and office managers, and those are often roles where the individuals have 10-plus years of experience. From an industry perspective, we've seen a nice uptick across the board in all industries. So the economy and the employment market definitely seems very, very healthy.
So do you see that not only the market might be healthy, there might be a shortage and therefore prices are going up?
Well, there's definitely a shortage of talent in the market, and we have definitely seen steady wage growth. So we've had quite a few experiences where we're seeing candidates get raises to take a new job anywhere from $5,000 to $25,000 to make that job change. So it's definitely a shortage of strong talent out there, and employers are having to be very competitive and creative in attracting talent and retaining their talent.
It used to be that if you were recruited and they wanted you to move to another city, they would usually pay you a housing allowance while you're looking for a place to stay. They might help you with financing your new home and pay for the transportation of your wife and children if you have any, and your furniture. That kind of went away during the Obama administration because there wasn't a lot of relocated hiring. Is that coming back?
You know, it's an interesting question. So we are seeing a little bit of the relocation or opportunities that are willing to pay for relocation. However, it is not like it was, in the 2006-2007 era, but I think that as unemployment continues to go down and the market becomes so much more competitive, that we'll start to see that probably early next year.
How important is retraining in your field?
Retraining is more a matter of staying current and relevant with various software programs or technology. So as time goes on, there's different softwares out there, there's different programs, and bottom line, the individuals who are very tech savvy are the ones that are have more opportunities available to them and can progress a little bit more rapidly. So it's more about staying current and technology, savvy with technology.
In the time we have left, I'd like to ask one more question, then I'll turn it back to Don. What is the one thing that you think middle managers or company owners in small businesses can do to try and retain valuable employees?
The one thing I would encourage is to ask for feedback and have a good discussion with your employee about how much do they like their job, what would they improve if they could improve something, and let them know that they are valued. So that's, I guess, a two-part answer. It is all about communication, knowing how your employee feels about their workplace, and acknowledging their contribution to your organization.
Good. Thank you very much. Brandy, back to you, Don.
Well, Brandy Britton, tell us a little bit about Office Team, where people can find out more about you.
Yeah, absolutely. So you can find us on the internet at officeteam.com. We are the world's largest specialized administrative staffing firm, first and largest.
Thank you.
And your website?
Is officeteam.com.
Okay. Brandy, thank you so much for what I think, and I think Dan agrees, a very interesting discussion. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much for having me. You guys have a great rest of your day.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your featured book. I want to tell you about a recent interview I had with Bob Bethel, a turnaround specialist with lots of success in small business. Bob's new book is Strengthen Your Business, Fail-Proof Strategies for Small Business. He tells us of his life successes and failures that have made him and his clients so successful. Over the years, Bob has brought 77 companies back from the brink and changed them into thriving, profitable businesses. His energy is amazing, and at 74, he proves that you can still have a great deal to give others if you just try. His suggestions are easy to understand and very helpful. One insight struck me was that most companies do not have a plan. The old Chinese proverb says, if you don't know where you're going, then any road will take you there, is true today. Bob Bethel's book, Strengthen Your Business, can be found at Amazon.com or can be ordered at your local bookstore. This has been Dan Perkins with your Recalculating.biz featured book.
Welcome back to Recalculating, the program dedicated to American small business. Now it's time to bring together our two experts, Dan Perkins and Don Mazzella, as they discuss things that are happening now that are affecting your business success.
Jack, our next guest is calling from New Zealand. And I'm going to let him introduce himself and his product because it's absolutely fascinating. Welcome.
Hello, Don. Pleasure to be here today with you and your listeners. My name is Dr. Mark Davey from New Zealand, and I'm from a company called Confitex Underwear. It's not your regular underwear. We make leak-proof, absorbent, washable underwear for the 1 in 3 women and the 1 in 10 men who experience incontinence, or more commonly known as sort of light bladder leakage, LBL. And myself and my business partner co-founded the company through basically personal experience of the problem with my mother experiencing LBL. And so we developed up this unique textile technology, which is wicks the moisture away, absorbs and is fully waterproof. But the cool thing and the different thing about our product is that it looks just like regular underwear.
Well, I have a lot of questions, but first, what makes your product unique?
That it's fully washable. So up until recently, the market's been dominated by diapers and pads, and they're obviously a menace to the environment and landfills, but they're also bulky and unsightly. And so we identified a gap in the market to offer a new innovative product that was fashionable, that helped people overcome the embarrassment of experiencing light bladder leakage. I mean, there's nothing worse than, you know, needing to find a bathroom in a hurry. And so, you know, the problem is that there's a lot of stigma around the issue. And so that's kind of reflected in the market and the types of products that have been available to date. What not many people realize is that as many people under 65 as over 65 experience light bladder leakage, from young mums after childbirth, through women post-menopause, and men as well, following prostate issues, and quite a few people just simply through a weak pelvic floor muscle. So the market is really broad and quite sort of segmented into a whole lot of different demographics. And we're really responding to the need with Confitex underwear in terms of offering a fashionable, functional solution to this problem to help restore freedom and lifestyle.
Well, your company is Confitex, C-O-N-F-I-T-E-X. Are you on shelves?
So we're just starting to, really good question, we're just starting to launch in the U.S. now, Don. We're available via HSN, the Home Shopping Network in the US, and we're available through a whole lot of kind of more boutique online retailers as well.
Well, I'm going to admit something. I am one of those people that have the problem you're trying to solve. So I was especially interested in that. And also, I was told by my doctor that it is a common byproduct of diabetes, which I also have. But Dr. Davey, I'm going to turn you over to Dan, because Dan, I'm sure you have some questions, and we can go from there.
Sure. Thank you. Doctor, I have firsthand experience, not as a user, but I belong to a church here in Southwest Florida that supports a elderly food pantry in Fort Myers. The number one item in terms of dollars that the pantry spends is for Depends. And it's continuing to grow as the population continues to grow, the elderly population continues to grow. I'm fascinated, as somebody who contributes regularly to purchase Depends for the elderly, what does this product cost?
So our product, Computex Underwear, retails for $34.90. And obviously for a single purchase, that is more than a disposable product. But actually the great thing about Computex is that it's fully washable and reusable. So it lasts over 100 washes, which means that actually over a period of 12 months, the cost saving is something like 75% as opposed to purchasing a pad or diaper.
Do you have a company website where the product can be purchased?
Absolutely. So ConfitexUnderwear.com. So ConfitexUnderwear.com underwear.com.
Well, it's interesting because Don and I are talking about bringing on a sponsor that provides information and some suggestions on diabetes. Having your product available to market alongside that might be very interesting. How long does it take you to make your product?
There's a lot of labor involved in making our product because we've got a whole lot of unique textile technology, which is what provides the ongoing wicking, absorption, and waterproofing. So we have about a sort of a six to eight week manufacturing lead time. So obviously the first stage is actually manufacturing the yarns and the textiles themselves. And then the next step is actually putting them together into what looks like a normal, regular pair of underwear.
Mm. Are you on Amazon, or are you talking to Amazon?
Yeah, we're Computex is available on Amazon as well. It's interesting though. So one of the interesting dynamics of the category that we're going into, which is this washable alternative to pads and diapers, is that it's an emerging category. So people aren't yet really fully aware that they can get a product like ours or Computex underwear, as opposed to buying a disposable diaper or pad.
Mm-hmm.
So we've
mm-hmm.
got a bit of a challenge ahead of us, which is really about growing awareness and educating the market to say that,
right,
hold on, actually, there's an environmentally sustainable and economic option out there to consider.
So let me continue here so that we can get you all the time that we can. If you had a parent who had this problem, how many pairs of this underwear do you think it would be an appropriate number to buy to meet their needs?
Well,
because they are washable.
I can speak from personal experience. So I think my mom has about seven or eight pairs. We find a lot of customers, they'll buy 3, 4 pairs, 5 pairs. It really depends on how frequently you do the washing.
Now, is it unlike Depends, where you buy the bigger case lots, you get a lower price per unit? Do you have packages that might have 5 or 10 pairs that would be at a reduced price?
No, we don't. No. What we find is that...
Have you considered that?
Well, it's not really a product. Kind of, we're positioning ourselves, obviously, as a premium, high-quality product.
Okay. So, you talked about the difference, or mentioned the difference in consumption between men and women as a percentage. Could you repeat those again?
Absolutely. So, 1 in 3 women experience LBL, or light bladder leakage, and 1 in 10 men.
One in three versus 1 in 10?
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
And the market's growing at about 7% per annum, roughly sort of 520 to 540 million people globally experience this, but it's a massive taboo, and it's a really kind of hidden epidemic. And the market's valued at about $11 billion US, so it's a really significant market. But an untapped market, because of the taboos surrounding the nature of the issue itself, those same taboos surround the industry. And that's why there's been a lack of innovation up until recently, and obviously that's what we're trying to solve and trying to
rectify. Is there any correlation to the problem? I mean, I understand what you talked about with childbirth and other things. But is there any correlation to the use of the need for the product based on age?
Absolutely. I think, LBL, light bladder leakage, really it's like any other muscle in the body. So over time, it gets weaker. And if you don't work on it, it gets even more weaker. And so, yeah, certainly, incontinence is more prevalent in the 65-plus part of the market, and certainly it's something that we traditionally view as something your parents or grandparents experience, but that's not to say that younger people don't experience it as well.
Right. The statistics for the United States, just the U.S., is that starting in about 2012. 10,000 seniors retire every day and will retire every day for the following 19 years. So we're 3 years into that retirement cycle. There's 10,000 people retiring every day, so that the market for your product, I would think, should expand greater than 7%. Now, the 7%, was that the expansion of the marketplace or the expansion you're looking for in your product?
That's the expansion of the marketplace globally. In a market like the US or New Zealand, we're typified by an aging population. So the baby boomers, which you'll hear a lot of people talking about, moving through the cohort. And so obviously there's that bubble that's gradually getting older, and hence the number of retirees. The interesting thing is that by 2030 in the US, the number of people aged over 65 in the US is going to double. It's going to go from about 30 million through to about 65 to 70 million. So it's a really significant change in the makeup of society and population in the US.
They will be, by the numbers I've seen, Doctor, by 2050, the senior population will in fact be the largest physical number of people in the United States as a single age group. They will be the biggest. How scalable is your business?
Oh, very, very scalable. But the big thing is that we're obviously, the biggest hurdle we're facing is awareness. And so... obviously, making our product available is one thing, but actually introducing it to new them is really the key thing that we have to overcome. Because at the moment, people just think of the pens, just think of pads, just think of diapers. Another interesting statistic, which I'll throw out there, is that over 70% of people who experience incontinence do not talk to their healthcare professional about it, do not talk to their loved ones or their family about it. So there's a whole lot of people out there who are kind of silently looking for help but not talking to anybody about it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So how do you create right now? What are you doing to create awareness not only for the problem but for your solution?
Well, talking on your show is one thing, but obviously launching on Home Shopping Network in the US is really significant. We're the first New Zealand company to be launching on Home Shopping Network in the US, mm-hmm. and as you know, Home Shopping Network, you know, average age of their customer is 59 years old, and they televise into about 92 million households across the US. So that's mm-hmm. a huge sales channel for us. It's also a sales channel where we're able to interact with the consumer and we're able to talk to them about the benefits of Comfitex underwear, how it's washable, mm-hmm. reusable, odor-free, leak-proof. And so that's really exciting for us because obviously in more conventional retail channels, it becomes hard to introduce an all-new product because consumers don't know what it is. Obviously, introducing it to consumers in a way that they can understand the product benefits is really, really important to us.
Want to know more about health savings accounts for your company or yourself? Go to 2HSA.com and get a free employer's primer. Health savings accounts are a cost-effective way of offering health care benefits to your employees and yourself. HSAs build retirement funds for your employees, improve morale, and reduce your health care benefit cost. For a free employer guide to HSAs, go to 2HSA.com. That's 2HSA.com.
Well, I would think it would be difficult in some retail locations, in different parts of stores, to have a clerk have that conversation over the counter. I mean, I can see that being a difficult challenge. But it sounds like a wonderful product, and I think that we are becoming more aware of incontinence, as our listeners tend to be business people. Many tens of thousands of them have parents, and as part of the aging process, creating a need for the son or the daughter or both to get involved in taking care of mom, part of that care is going to be, in many cases, an incontinent issue that needs some supervision. And your product sounds like a wonderful opportunity to do great things for people. So I'm excited about it. We'd love to have a conversation with you to see how we can bring you awareness through our 160,000 listeners each week.
My question is, how long have you had the product in New Zealand, and what made you decide to make the jump to the United States?
That's a really great question. We're just a bit over 2 years old, and so we're a really new startup company. We obviously spent, you know, a couple of years before that developing the textile technology, patenting our technology. We identified the US as a really key market. It's got a lot of similarities to New Zealand, but obviously, you know, a huge population compared to down home here, and an exciting market. So there was a lot of a lot less barriers to entering the US than some of the Asian markets, just simply due to those similarities. So, yeah.
Well, your product is made out of, what's it made out of? is it a paper product? Is it a pulp product? What's it made out of?
So the beauty with our underwear, it's 100% textile based. So there's no plastics, there's no chemicals in it. So there's a whole sort of range of spandex, polyester, cotton, bamboo. We have lace versions. There's a whole lot of different varieties and styles and colours, just like regular underwear. So when you're wearing it, it feels no different to your normal underwear.
Well, I was talking to someone and mentioned that you were coming on the program, and they were building a plant in China to produce Pamper-like products. And they thought they were fascinated by the concept of your doing it. But what about the transportation? Are you making it in New Zealand and then transporting it, or are you making it here in the United States? What are you doing?
Yeah, good question. We manufacture in China. So, you know, we've found China really to be the hub of textile innovation and manufacturing. And we've found that the highest quality garments are generally coming out of China at the moment. And so that's where our manufacturing is situated. And we obviously have distribution now throughout the U.S.
Well, let me, you know, it's interesting. A few weeks ago we had on our program, a woman who develops products for older people, and she has a fairly popular website designed for that. Are you making alliances with various groups besides the mass marketer, or are you concentrating on the mass market?
No, I think that bottom-up strategy is really important. So it's getting influencers. So, you know, we work closely with a whole lot of the prostate cancer foundations, because obviously that's a key trigger for light bladder leakage. Working with a lot of the young mums groups and that type of thing, and also talking to urologists, pelvic floor specialists. So there's a quite a big ecosystem of people who are dealing in this area, that obviously it's our task and our challenge to reach out to them and to introduce them to the product, introduce them to the solution that we're offering.
Well, I'm curious. You're still it's still profitable for you to manufacture in China, if I heard correctly, and then transport it to the United States and still make a profit out of it. Am I correct on that?
Yes, absolutely, yes.
Well, what do you expect them to retail for here in the United States?
So they're retailing for $34.90 in the U.S. per pair. But as I said earlier, that's about a 75% cost saving over the course of a year compared to wearing pads or diapers. So the one-off purchase price is obviously greater than a bag of diapers, but actually over time it's a huge cost saving and psychologically a lot better, because you're wearing a normal-looking pair of underwear and you don't have to be embarrassed.
How are you managing your U.S. Operation? Have you hired somebody here in the States to run the operation, or are you running it from New Zealand? How are you doing it?
Yeah, good question. So we're running it from New Zealand at the moment, but obviously in the very near future we'll be looking at establishing full-time operations in the US. I think the really exciting thing about obviously the period in time which we're operating in is the online, you know, day and age, and that's been really really valuable for us, because we've been able to test the market and get learnings really, really quickly. So that's led to a lot quicker product innovation, new product development, consumer feedback, basically in real time, and also obviously figuring out, you know, what markets we're going after, who is our customer. So what does she do or what does he do? Where does he shop? What are their habits? And so that's been hugely valuable for us, and I think we've really, you know, leveraged that and taken as many learnings as we can, and obviously you know, applied that to our plans and strategies going forward.
Do you have a follow-on product ready for you beyond what you're doing now?
We do. Obviously, our, you know, patented technology, yeah, can be applied. I can't share with you just right today what that will be. But no, absolutely. There's certainly various other applications for our technology that we've developed.
Well, the other question I guess I have, Dan, I'll go back to you in 1 minute. What do you do with the money you earn here in the States? Do you reparate it back to New Zealand, or do you use it for future expansion here in the States?
Oh, we're investing everything back into our key market, and our key market's the U.S. So we're investing over and above anything, any profits or anything that we make, to obviously expand our sales channels, grow our consumer base, and obviously raise awareness of the product as well. You know, the hurdles to market, barriers to market for us, again, really comes back to that education and awareness that I touched on earlier. You know, unless people know about the product, they're not going to go out there shopping for it. And so our challenge is to you know, build awareness.
One more quick, your website again for people?
It's Confitex, so Confitex underwear.com. Confitexunderwear.com.
Dan, back to you.
Well, it looks like I'm running out of battery here. So I thought this interview was a fascinating interview. And I look forward to talking to you soon. And I'm going to tell my friends down in South Florida about this product for the senior citizens that we do charitable work for. So I think it's an exciting opportunity. And thank you for joining us today.
And like I said, we've been talking with Confitex CEO and co-founder, Dr. Mark Davey from New Zealand. He's talking about his product, which I, for one, am going to look for in the store. Thank you so much for being with us, Dr. Davey. Thank you again.
Dan Perkins here from Recalculating.biz with your small business tip of the day. Small business funding is easier these days thanks to a new breed of lender called FinTech lenders. These internet-based lenders cut the time between applying for funds and getting the funds to just hours instead of months. They also make it easier to repay your loans, but their costs might be a little higher for their service. The next time you need dollars for your small business, try them. You might like the change. I'm Dan Perkins for Recalculating.biz and your small business tip of the day.
Well, Dan, what do you think about today's guest?
I thought they were terrific. We had great diversity. We had some really good ideas on small business and what they can do with credit and how they can save money with the gentleman from Spent. So I think there was a lot of good stuff. Again, continuing the idea that we are on the air to try and help small businesses grow their businesses and start them. And again, we had content today that dealt with both. And as in the past, if you didn't get all of this show, you can go to our website, recalculating.biz, and look at past shows and expand your education, how you can be better at what you're doing in a small business.
Agreed. Great show, Dan.
Thank you for joining us on Recalculating. We hope the information you received on today's episode was helpful to you in starting and growing your business. Please go to our website, recalculating.biz, to contact us, to listen to past shows, and see special offers. Until next time, remember, if you grow, we grow. Join us next week for more helpful ideas to make your business a great success. Recalculating, a program designed to help you be successful.